I'm Mike and Scott, and this is The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. You can find our podcast on iTunes. You're walking around, going about your life, and suddenly a song pops into your head. So this happens to me all the time, too. Sadly, I'm neither much of a singer, nor can I ever remember lyrics, but here it goes.
Your home is where you're happy. It's not where you're not free.
I'm not talking about an earworm I can't shake. It's just a song that seems to trigger on my internal playlist very often. Think for a moment about all of the melodies and songs that you can remember. How many do you think there are? Hundreds? Thousands? How come we can remember all of that, even terrible songs we hate, but we can't recall our coworker's name? Scientists are digging deep into the mechanics of the jukebox in our brains to find out how it works and what we could learn from it in terms of improving our memory. Let's start with a song that suddenly plays in your head.
Your home's where you're happy, Lemonheads.
The song I find myself singing is a Lemonheads tune. It's called Your Home Is Where You're Happy.
Your home's where you're happy. It's not where you're not free. Your home is where you...
I have a mixtape from 1990 in my basement that has that song on it. When a friend gave me this tape, I was a teenager. I was failing miserably in school and spending most of my time sitting in some divey cafe. I didn't think about the song for years until I started singing it.
'Cause they don't know how to be free.
Why this song? I decided to start at the source, so to speak. I called up John Strom. He was the drummer for the Lemonheads. Now he's an attorney in Nashville.
This is John.
My inner teenager was geeking out a little bit at this moment, so I asked him to sing it.
Your home is where you're happy. It's not where you're not free. Your home is where you can be what you want. 'Cause you were just born to be free, or something like that. Do you know it was written by Charles Manson?
I found that out. I was. It didn't really make me happy.
Yeah. Well, he's quite a good songwriter. You know, Evan Dando from the Lemonheads was obsessed with Charles Manson at that time.
Strom and I talked some more about music and memory, and he told me he often has a Billy Joel song pop into his head. Which one?
Oh, no. If I say the title, it'll get stuck in my head. What's the one? Anthony works in the grocery store. That one.
Saving his pennies for someday.
Remember this part?
I respect him as a writer and a musician. I don't dislike his songs. I just don't want them in my head.
But we don't get to pick what gets stored in that vast library.
I'd have to venture a guess at like hundreds of thousands.
Raj Holder is a rapper who performs as Lush Life.
There's melodies that I can recall totally out of thin air off the top of my head, but then there's a whole nother world of melodies that I wouldn't be able to do that with, but are still stored in my brain in some way for recognition.
Research confirms that musicians and music enthusiasts have hundreds of thousands of tunes in their memory, says music psychologist Vicky Williamson of the University of Sheffield in the UK.
Well, your brain's very good at remembering a lot of things, of course, but music tends to stick up there along with smell as two types of stimuli that are very provocative, that can stimulate long-term memories very easily and very quickly for people.
She says it's because of the way the brain is structured.
The parts of the brain that are interested in a lot of the emotion in music are very, very close. They're very hotly wired to areas of the brain that are generally interested in memory functions.
This is an oversimplification, but broadly speaking, we're talking about connections between the hippocampus, which has a lot to do with our memory, and the superior temporal gyrus, which deals in music, and the amygdala, which is important for memory and emotions. The brain also gets a bit of an assist because many pieces of music have a lot in common, like their basic structure.
It's not like every piece of music is a brand new experience that you have no guide to.
This is Rick Astley. No, not Rick Astley.
Never gonna give you up.
A It's Rick Ashley, who researches music and cognition at Northwestern University.
Your knowledge of the music with which you're familiar, sort of like your native language in music, gives you this huge stock of patterns that let you absorb and recall, sort of reconstitute pieces from memory.
So out of this vast library of melodies, your brain picks one that pops into your head, seemingly at random. Here's Raj Holder.
Oh yeah, there's this one Nas lyric that's like, I'm an addict for sneakers. Even sometimes when I just step up to a mic, it just comes out. I don't know, it's so ingrained.
The technical term for this is imagery, auditory imagery.
Rick Ashley from Northwestern University again.
Not the kind of thing where somebody says, do you know, Don't Stop Believing? And I say, yeah, I know that song. But you're talking about this kind of music that comes forth unbidden, right? I'm not looking for it. The song just starts up.
Music psychologist Vicki Williamson says the reason this happens is because our brains are processing input by constantly scanning all of our existing memory files for information.
Like a spider's web out to all the concepts and ideas that are connected somehow.
So let's say you see a dog. Your brain immediately pulls up all of the relevant information. This allows you to first identify this furry creature as a dog. It reminds you that you like or dislike dogs. It's an automatic process. It's not something we have any control over, and it's this process that allows us to learn, to make sense of the world around us. And sometimes the same function hits play on some terrible song. One thing, I don't know why,
it doesn't even matter how hard you try. What's happening when you think, why on earth has that song come into my head? Is probably one of those little spider web tendrils has been activated, but subconsciously. So you're not aware of what you've seen or heard or has been triggered in your mind from the environment because you weren't particularly focusing in on it at the time.
And if you do just a bit of detective work, you'll probably figure out a connection to something that happened during your day, says Rick Ashley.
There was something in the lyrics to that song that were triggered by this earlier event.
And with music that has no lyrics, it tends to come to mind because it's reminiscent of a specific mood.
That's a good soundtrack to the plot and the scene that's playing itself out.
So with my song, I figured out that I usually sing it when I walk to the gym, because at that moment, I would most definitely rather be home. And it's from a specific time in my life, and that plays a role, says Vicki Williamson.
There's a memory theory called reminiscence bumps, which states that memories that you lay down at certain points in life are more likely to be easily accessed, evocative, and easy for us to process. And reminiscence bumps occur, for example, in late teenage years. And that might be because of the number of hormones that are going around at that time of life, and also the number of novel, unique experiences you're coming across for the first time.
For musicians, the vast internal music library can create serious havoc. John Strom, the drummer-turned-lawyer, recently wrote a great song, and then he realized it was his client's tune.
And I'm a copyright lawyer. This is what I do. I you know, I'm the guy that's sending the letter when, you know, when somebody puts a song out there. You know, it'd be very embarrassing for me to put music out that was infringing.
Hi, we're Y-Oak from Baltimore, Maryland, and we're...
Jen Wozner of the Baltimore band Y-Oak has a problem with a song that inserts itself like a schoolyard bully.
I think the most embarrassing song that I've had in my head recently was... I'm almost afraid to say it because I don't want to go back there again, but Mambo Number 5, which seems like a particularly cruel form of sabotage on behalf of my brain, but...
Given this incredibly sticky quality of music, researchers like Vicki Williamson are studying which tools and techniques they could adapt to help people who have memory problems, perhaps improving the lives of those with dementia or Alzheimer's. On a smaller scale, music might help us remember passwords and PIN numbers.
If my research is true, then setting them to sung form instead of just spoken, so imagining them sung in your mind, will help you to retain them for longer.
And for Jen Wozner, of course, that PIN number would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everybody in the car, so come on, let's ride to the liquor store around the corner. The boys say they want some gin and juice, but I really don't wanna be
ear buzz like I had last week.
I hate that song.
Talk is cheap. I like Angela, Pamela, Sandra, and Rita. And as I continue, you know they're getting sweeter. So what can I do? I really beg you, my lord. To me, flirting is just like a sport. Anything fine, it's all good. Let me jump in, please sing in the trumpet. A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of...